Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. And we find that in Deuteronomy 10, verses 12 and 13. And thank you so much for the sermonette. It goes hand in gloves, as we will see. Our Father demands complete commitment, not half-hearted service. Obeying him is an expression of love and trust, not just duty. And I think we covered that extensively during our last Bible study. His commandments and statutes are given to bless and guide, not to burden. Those who serve him fully will receive his favor, protection, and the fullness of life in his care. According to Jewish history, Moses was born and passed away on the 7th of Adar, the 12th month of the sacred calendar. And today is the 8th of Adar, as we reflect not only on his life, on Moses' life, but on how we, as our Father's chosen, must walk in the same faithfulness. He was chosen not for personal greatness, but because he fully submitted to our Creator's, through our Creator, trusting in him rather than his own ability. His perseverance, obedience, and commitment to righteousness prove that true leadership is built on humility, faith, and endurance. Now, just one day after the anniversary of his birth and passing, his life stands as a challenge to us today. Join me in asking, are we walking in humility, faithfulness, obedience, intercessory love, perseverance, courage, and zeal for righteousness? Or have you allowed the pressures of the world to dull our commitment and weaken our stand? Let us explore this question in the remaining minutes of this message. Walking as Moses walked, faithful, steadfast, unshakable. That's the title of today's sermon. Walking as Moses walked, faithful, steadfast, unshakable. Moses lived by these seven defining traits. One could probably think of more, but let's focus briefly on seven, and we must embody them in our own walk. This is not about the life of Moses, who was kind of an antitype of Jesus Christ, as we understand, by extension also the perfect example for us to emulate in our lives. The first I would like to touch on, the first trait is humility. It all begins with humility. Moses never sought to elevate himself, but recognized that all authority, wisdom, and power come from our Father alone. Even though he was a mighty general in the Egyptian army, no, he said, I cannot speak to the people. He felt intimidated. No, he will probably be as far away from somebody going in front of a camera as you can imagine. He was chosen not because of his own greatness, but because he was willing to serve in total dependence on our Creator, whom obviously Jesus Christ came to reveal to be our Father. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 12. True humility is not about thinking less of oneself, but about recognizing that apart from our Father, we can do nothing. Those who humble themselves before him do not seek their own glory, but trust that he will exalt them at the proper time. David comes to mine. No, anointed king about at age 15, but then at age 30, you know, becoming king, he could have thought, this is never going to happen. No, it was in the perfect time. Numbers 12, verse 3. Numbers 12, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. What a statement. Moses did not assert his own importance, even when challenged by others. His humility was rooted in confidence that our Father would establish and defend him. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. The world values self-promotion, but true greatness comes from submission to him, to our Father. Those who walk in humility do not demand honor, for he will lift them up in due time. Exodus 3, verse 11 and 12. Exodus 3, verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you." Creator gave him assurance. Moses acknowledged his own limitations and did not assume he was capable of fulfilling the task alone. He's not going in front of somebody he didn't know. You know, that was his family, his adoptive family in essence, that he had to go, but now had to represent his true people. But again, even by doing so, he acknowledged his own limitations. And again, he did not assume that he was capable of fulfilling the task alone. Rather than resisting the call, he sought assurance that our Father will be with him. Let's turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Humility does not mean shrinking back in fear, but stepping forward in obedience, knowing that his presence enables success. That our Father's presence enables our success. Those who trust in him accomplish what they never could on their own strength. Psalm 25, verse 9. Psalm 25, verse 9. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. Moses was not just a leader, but a student of our Father's instruction. In essence, to an extent, a lifelong student. You know, he was given back into the care of his own mother, you know, and then growing up in Pharaoh's household. Humility keeps the heart open to correction and wisdom, making one teachable and responsive to our Father's guidance. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Our Father does not force direction upon the proud, but willingly leads those who submit to him. When we have a question of what does our Father expect of us, or which way should we go, we should start with humility. Those who remain humble will always find themselves walking in his right path. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Moses did not seek to exalt himself, and our Father honored him above all prophets of Israel. He was that true precursor to Jesus Christ. The proud strive to lift themselves, but those who trust in our Father will be raised according to his purpose and timing. Exaltation in his sight is not about status or recognition, but about being entrusted with greater responsibility. Those who serve faithfully in humility will be placed in positions of influence for his glory. Humility prepared Moses for faithfulness, ensuring that he would serve rather than seek his own glory, which leads us to the second trait, faithfulness. faithfulness. Faithfulness is not about short-term obedience, but about steadfast endurance through every season. Moses remained unwavering in his trust and commitment, even when the people rebelled and the journey seemed never-ending. Numbers chapter 12. He did not allow hardship, delays, or opposition to shake his devotion or his commitment to our Father's calling. Those who are faithful, whether in small tasks or great responsibilities, prove that they can be entrusted with even more in his kingdom. That's why, regardless of any tasks we do, whether or not it's in a fellowship or in our daily task as students, as employees, as fathers, mothers, no task is too small. Everything prepares us. And this is a proving ground for us. How can we be trusted? How faithful are we as we become kingdom builders? And actually, we are kingdom builders right now. He remained dedicated to serving our Father in every circumstance, never allowing personal struggles or external pressures to deter him. Hebrews chapter 3. I think I didn't read Numbers 12:7. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, not in certain aspects only. My apologies. Hebrews chapter 3. True faithfulness is not dependent on conditions, but on an unchanging commitment to our Creator. Those who remain faithful, even when unseen, will be upheld and honored by our Father. Hebrews 3, verse 5. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. Moses' faithfulness extended beyond his own time, foreshadowing the greater fulfillment in Christ. He understood that his obedience was part of a greater purpose beyond his lifetime. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Those who remain faithful today are part of something far greater than they can see. Faithfulness is not about seeking immediate results, but trusting in the eternal impact of obedience. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. I did the math. We are at most at 100th generation right now. Moses reflected our Father's faithfulness by holding fast to the covenant even when the people faltered. True faithfulness mirrors our Father's unwavering commitment to his promises. Luke chapter 16. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. He is always steadfast to those who remain committed to him. Those who walk in faithfulness will never be forsaken. Luke 16, verse 10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Moses' faithfulness was demonstrated in both small and great matters. Those who are trustworthy in the smallest responsibilities will be entrusted with greater things. We're not wasting our times when we do the little things. No, we prepare for greater things to come. Faithfulness is not about the size of the task, but about the heart's commitment to honoring our Father. those who remain steadfast in the little will be prepared for greater works in his service. Faithfulness made Moses obedient, ensuring he would follow every instruction given by our Father. The third trait is obedience. Obedience. Moses never questioned whether our Father's commandments and statutes were optional. He understood that obedience is not based on personal reasoning, but on full trust in his wisdom and authority. Exodus chapter 40. His life was marked by complete submission to every instruction, no matter how challenging or unexpected. Now, if you're told, you know, strike the water and it parts, you know, and then go through it and lead the people through it, that could be considered as quite unexpected, isn't it? Those who obey fully will always walk in alignment with our Father's will and experience the blessings that come from following his ways. Exodus 40, verse 16. This Moses did according to all that the Lord commanded him. So he did. Didn't use his own interpretation, his own reasoning. No, he followed everything, all the instructions, all the commandments, all the statutes, and recorded them for our benefit today. Moses did not hesitate or modify the instructions given to him. He followed every command and every commandment and every statute exactly as spoken, knowing that obedience leads to divine guidance and provision. Deuteronomy chapter 5. True obedience is not about selective compliance, but about full surrender to his will. Those who obey completely demonstrate their love and reverence for our Father. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32 and 33. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. You shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that he may go well with you. Moses knew that obedience was the pathway to blessing, protection, and favor. Those who follow his commandments and statutes without deviation will experience life as he intended. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Walking in full obedience ensures that we are in step with his purpose and remain under his covering. Those who obey wholeheartedly will receive his guidance, provision, and the fulfillment of his promises. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." Moses understood that outward acts of devotion or commitment mean nothing without obedience. Many attempt to replace obedience with religious rituals, but our Father desires hearts fully yielded to him. John chapter 14 for our next scripture. John chapter 14. Those who obey show that they value our Father's commandments and statutes above personal desires or traditions. True worship is demonstrated in a life that follows his ways without compromise. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Moses' obedience was not out of duty, but of love for our Father. Do we come here every week on the Sabbath out of duty? Or because we deeply love our Father? Love and obedience are inseparable, because those who love him will desire to follow his ways. Walking in obedience allows us to experience his presence and fellowship in a deeper way. And after all, as we've learned, as we read in the opening scripture, it is for our own good. Those who obey fully will walk in close communion, fellowship with our Father, receiving his guidance and favor. Obedience prepared Moses for intercessory love. That intercessory love teaching him to prioritize our Father's will over personal desires. Intercessory love, that's the fourth trait. Moses did not just lead the people. He stood in the gap. It's actually, or a better translation would be the breach. Something that was whole, but now, no, went kaput because of the behavior of the people. Interceding for them before our Father. Our Creator was so fed up with the Israelites, what they did with the golden calf. He wanted to start over with Moses' family, and he says, no. No. He stood in the gap. He said, oh, that's a great opportunity. No. No, we can start over with my family. No. Even when they rebelled, he pleaded for mercy instead of destruction. And again, that's that antitype, that precursor to Jesus Christ. Who is the one who stood in the breach for us? And we are about to commemorate that very, very important pivotal point in history in a short few weeks from now. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. True love does not condemn, never condemns, but seeks restoration, always longing for repentance and redemption. Those who love deeply will labor in prayer for others, knowing that our Father's mercy is greater than any failure. Exodus 32, verse 11 and 12. Exodus 32, verse 11. Moses implored the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. No, he had it in a proper perspective. It's not his people to lead, not his people, it's God's people. Moses did not stand by silently when judgment threatened the people. Instead, he appealed to our Father's covenant and reputation, or I should say, obviously, the one that was revealed as our Father, knowing that mercy would bring greater joy than immediate judgment. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Intercession does not deny sin or whitewash it in any way, but seeks redemption through his compassion. That's why Jesus Christ came. Those who intercede reflect our Father's heart, even though Jesus Christ is obviously that intercessor. But do we reflect our Father's heart, which longs to restore rather than destroy? You see that in little things among leaders, whether religious or in a country. How do they deal with a situation? Is it out of really meaning the best, being that intercessor in essence to reflect the heart of our Father or not? Numbers 14, verse 19 and 20. Numbers 14, verse 19. Please pardon the iniquity of this people, according to the greatness of your steadfast love. Just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now, then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Let's not diminish even our, when we intercede for others, the power that that can have. Again, what a beautiful response of our Creator, isn't it? I have pardoned according to your word. You know, we're speaking to Moses. Moses sought forgiveness instead of destruction, demonstrating true intercession. And again, reflecting Jesus Christ, who did the exact same thing. Our Father desires those who, like Moses, will pray for others rather than simply proclaim judgment. Deuteronomy chapter 9. True intercession does not give up on people, never gives up on people, but continues to seek restoration. Those who stand before him in prayer will see his mercy poured out. Deuteronomy 9, verse 18. I lay prostrate before the Lord as before, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all the sin that you have had committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Moses was willing to endure personal sacrifice for the sake of the people. Love is not passive, but takes action, even when it requires a great personal cost. Comes at great personal cost. Hebrews chapter 7. Those who truly love others seek our Father's mercy on their behalf, even when they have sinned. True intercession requires persistence and deep commitment to stand in the breach. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Consequently, he's able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them, in of Jesus Christ, about us, making that intercession not just for us assembled here, but for all of mankind in due time. Moses' intercession foreshadowed Christ's greater intercession for his body. Just as Moses pleaded for Israel, Christ continually intercedes for those who are his. People wonder what he's up to, Jesus Christ, right now. He's making intercession for each one of us. Intercessory love does not condemn, but seeks restoration through prayer and action. We wouldn't have splits in the church. Our congregations falling apart. We have more leadership that really exhibit that intercessory love. Those who follow Christ's example will not turn away from the needs of others, but will stand before our Father in prayer on their behalf. Intercessory love strengthened Moses' perseverance, helping him endure the people's stubbornness without giving up. Which brings us to the fifth trait, perseverance. Perseverance is more than patience. I think the English word patience is so misunderstood, one of the least understood words. Perseverance is more than patience. It is remaining steadfast through trials, opposition, and delays while fully trusting in our Father. Moses led the rebellious people through the wilderness for 40 years, yet he never abandoned his calling. He didn't throw in the towel. Probably would have had many, many reasons, especially that big incident. Psalm 106, let's turn to Psalm 106. Even when faced with ingratitude, disobedience, and outright rebellion, he continued forward in obedience. True perseverance is not passivity but a firm resolve to remain faithful, knowing that our Father's timing is perfect. Psalm 106, verse 32 and 33. Psalm 106, verse 32. They angered him at the waters of Meribah, and it went ill with Moses on their account, for they made his spirit bitter, and he spoke rashly with his lips. Even Moses, who endured so much, struggled when provoked by relentless complaints. His frustration at Meribah reminds us that perseverance requires guarding our hearts from bitterness. Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. When weariness sets in, it becomes easy to act outside of our Father's will, leading to regret. Those who persevere do not allow frustration to dictate their actions, but trust in Him to bring resolution in our Father's time. Exodus 16, verse 8. Exodus 16, verse 8. Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against Him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Moses recognized that the people's complaints were ultimately directed at our Father, not him. It's the same thing when we grumble against each other. We don't grumble against each other. We grumble against our Father. This truth allowed him to continue leading without becoming consumed by personal offense. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Perseverance grows when we shift our focus from people's reactions to our Father's sovereignty. Those who trust in Him remain steady despite opposition, knowing He remains in control. James 1, verse 3 and 4. And also, by the way, I'm reading from the English Standard Version throughout this message. James 1, verse 3. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Moses' perseverance was refined through constant trials, preparing him for greater responsibility. Testing is not meant to break us, never meant to break us, but to strengthen our endurance. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Those who remain steadfast under trials develop spiritual maturity and completeness. True perseverance is not passive, but an active trust in our Father's refining process. Galatians 6, verse 9. Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Moses did not see the fulfillment of the promise in his lifetime, yet he remained faithful. He was allowed to see. He went up on the mountain. God took him up on the mountain to show him where the Israelites will go. He could see the future, but he himself could not see the fulfillment. Perseverance trusts that the harvest will come in our Father's appointed time, even if it is beyond our own days. Those who endure trials with steadfastness will see fruit, whether in their own lives or in future generations. Once we united, you know, with our ancestors and our descendants and see how certain things came to fruition. Weariness is the enemy of perseverance, but those who wait on Him will be renewed. Perseverance emboldened Moses' courage, keeping him from retreating in the face of fear. The sixth trait is courage. Courage. Moses displayed courage in every day, on every stage, I should say, of his calling, from standing before Pharaoh to leading Israel through the wilderness. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the refusal to let fear dictate decisions. And oftentimes I see that fear in organizations, in nations, that people just don't make a decision. And they wonder if God gives us all these blessings, we don't know what to do with it. Because there's a deep ingrained fear. Hebrews chapter 11. He did not waver when facing overwhelming obstacles, trusting that our Father would make a way where none seemed possible. True courage is rooted in faith, knowing that our Father is greater than any enemy, challenge, or uncertainty. It's not being reckless, obviously. It's the wrong form of courage. Hebrews 11, verse 27. Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses did not allow Pharaoh's wrath to dictate his actions, or the adversary, or Satan in that sense. His courage was grounded in his awareness that our Father's presence, which was more real to him than any earthly power. Exodus chapter 14. Fear loses its grip when one sees beyond the visible to his sovereign rule. When we understand that our Father is in absolute control and he deeply cares, not just as a group, as a creation, but about each of one of us, he deeply cares. Those who trust in our Father are not controlled by human opposition, but remain steadfast in obedience. Exodus 14, verse 13 and 14. Exodus 14, verse 13. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." Courage is sometimes taking action, but other times it means standing still in faith, not being inactive, but wait for the deliverance of our great God. Moses knew that deliverance was in our Father's hands, not his own. Nothing he could have done with his staff to separate those waters, or anything that he did, or water coming out of the rock. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Those who trust in him do not need to panic, but can stand with confidence even when surrounded by adversity. Boldness is not reckless, but is grounded in the certainty of his faithfulness. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you, as he gave his farewell speech. And had that transition, leadership transition. He encouraged them. Again, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, those that they would encounter in a promised land. For it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Moses encouraged Israel with the same courage that sustained him. Strength does not come from personal ability, but from knowing our Father is always present. He's always there for us. He doesn't sleep. He always is there for us, watches us. Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Those who know he will never leave them can face any challenge without fear. Fear paralyzes, but courage moves forward with full assurance in his faithfulness. Joshua 1, verse 7. Joshua 1, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Moses' courage was passed to Joshua, proving that boldness in faith influences future generations. Now, that ultimate, early on, when Amalek attacked, Joshua wasn't trained in art of war, like they say, but had to defend Israel, you know, speaking of courage, but not recklessness. Now, he knew that God was with them. Obedience and courage go hand in hand because standing for truth often requires boldness, doesn't it? Those who are strong in his ways will never lack the courage to follow them. Strength is not just physical endurance, but the unwavering resolve to walk in obedience. Courage empowered Moses' zeal for righteousness, ensuring he never compromised the holiness of our Father, which leads us to the seventh and final trait for today, zeal for righteousness. Moses was relentless in upholding our Father's holiness, refusing to tolerate sin among the people. His zeal was not driven by uncontrolled anger, but a deep commitment to ensuring righteousness was preserved according to our Father's standard. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. True zeal does not seek to destroy, but to restore, calling people back to holiness while removing what corrupts. Those who are zealous for righteousness do not stand by in silence, but take action to uphold our Father's truth in a world that seeks compromise. Exodus 32, verse 19 and 20. Exodus 32, verse 19. As soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it on the water and made the people of Israel drink it. So much for a nutritious meal, isn't it? Moses did not tolerate idolatry among the people, but took immediate and decisive action to remove it. His response was not about personal rage, far from it, but about defending the holiness of our Father's commandments and statutes, his way of life, his very being. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. True zeal does not negotiate with sin, but seeks to eliminate its influence before it spreads further. The removal of the golden calf symbolized a necessary cleansing, showing that idolatry has no place among his people. Numbers 25, verse 10 and 11. Numbers 25, verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, has turned back my wrath from the people of Israel in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the people of Israel in my jealousy. Because in essence, you know, what they did with the golden calf is giving, you know, is being unfaithful to the one they're truly betrothed to. Zeal for righteousness aligns with our Father's own desire for holiness among his people. Phinehas took action against sin, not for personal gain, but because he shared our Father's jealousy for righteousness. Psalm 106. Our Father commended his zeal, showing that standing for holiness is not optional, but necessary to maintain purity among his people. Those who are zealous for righteousness will not stand idle while sin spreads, knowing that compromise leads to destruction. Psalm 106, verse 30 and 31. Psalm 106, verse 30. Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stayed, and that was counted to him as righteousness from generation to generation forever. Phinehas' seal was not only acknowledged by our Father, but was counted to him as righteousness, the proper righteousness, not some kind of ill-advised self-righteousness, personal interpretation. His boldness in confronting sin resulted in the preservation of his people, preventing further judgment. He took action, the correct type of action, within his circle of influence. Obviously, he didn't do stuff that was not his to do. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Zeal for righteousness is not about proving oneself, but about ensuring that our Father's holiness is upheld. Not to squabble amongst ourselves in the body of Christ. Those who act in defense of his commandments and statutes leave a lasting testimony for future generations. Titus 2 verse 14. Titus 2 verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works? Are we zealous for good works? Moses' seal foreshadowed the calling of those in Christ, us, who are set apart to live in righteousness. Our Savior did not redeem us so we could continue in lawlessness, but so that we would be purified for our Father's purposes. Zeal for righteousness is not just about opposing sin, but about actively living in holiness. That's also the point of the days of unleavened bread, you know, taking in that holiness, that unleavened bread, Jesus Christ, becoming more like him. We remove sin before that, but then we take in holiness. Those who truly belong to Christ will desire to uphold his commandments and statutes, not out of obligation, but out of love. Zeal for righteousness ensures that we remain distinct as our Father's people, upholding his truth in a world that opposes his ways. Moses walked in humility, faithfulness, obedience, intercession, perseverance, courage, and zeal for righteousness, not for his own sake, but as an example for us today. These traits were not just for his time, but are essential for us, his chosen to walk in today. We are called to embody the same steadfast commitment, standing firm in his truth, regardless of challenges. Now let us summarize this message into 7 key takeaways and apply them in our lives as we walk in his purpose. No? So what now? No? First, walk in humility. The first takeaway, walk in humility. We as children and saints of the Most High must recognize that all wisdom, strength, and success come from our Father alone. Moses never sought his own glory, but fully submitted to our Father, understanding that humility is the key to being used for his purpose. True humility is not self-degradation, but the acknowledgement that without our Father, we are nothing. And through him, we are equipped for his work. In essence, we are everything through him. Those who humble themselves before him will be strengthened, lifted up in his time, and prepared for greater service in his kingdom. The second key takeaway is remain faithful in all things. remain faithful in all things. Faithfulness is about standing firm in our commitment to our Father, whether in seasons of difficulty or abundance. Moses never wavered, and when the journey was long and the people rebelled, proving that true faithfulness is not determined by circumstances, but by unwavering trust in our Father. We must hold firm in obedience, knowing that faithfulness is a reflection of our love for Him. Those who are faithful in small matters will be entrusted with even greater things in His kingdom. The third key takeaway, obey without hesitation. Obey without hesitation. Obedience is the clearest expression of our love and trust in our Father. Moses followed every commandment and statute exactly as given, knowing that full obedience is necessary for walking in alignment with our Father's will. We must resist the temptation to pick and choose which instructions to follow. It's not a menu in a restaurant. For partial obedience is disobedience. True obedience does not require full understanding, but full trust in the one who gives the command or the commandments and statutes. The fourth key takeaway is intercede for one another. Cannot be stressed enough. Intercede for one another. Intercession is an act of love that seeks mercy, restoration, and redemption rather than condemnation. Moses stood in the breach for Israel, pleaded for their forgiveness, even when they turned away, showing that true intercessory love is relentless. We must pray for one another, lifting up those who are weak and seeking His mercy over those who have fallen. True intercession requires persistence and a heart willing to stand before our Father on behalf of others. Exactly what Jesus Christ is doing each and every moment of His life now. But we have to reflect that same willingness to do the same. Of course, that does not take away from Jesus Christ. Just reflect that same sentiment. The fifth key takeaway is endure with perseverance. Endure with perseverance. Perseverance is more than waiting. It is enduring trials with trust in our Father's perfect timing. Moses did not give up when faced with opposition, knowing that the journey was part of our Father's refining process. We must not grow weary in doing good, but trust that perseverance produces spiritual maturity. True perseverance is strengthened through endurance, not through ease, and those who remain steadfast will see the fulfillment of His promises in due time. The sixth key takeaway is stand courageously in faith. Stand courageously in faith. Courage is not the absence of fear, but the decision to stand firm despite it. Moses faced Pharaoh, led Israel through the Red Sea, and stood against rebellion, knowing that our Father was his strength. We must be bold in truth, never retreating in the face of opposition, but trusting that He goes before us. Those who walk in courage will see his power at work, making a way where none seems possible. And finally, the seventh key takeaway, be zealous for righteousness. Be zealous for righteousness. Compromise with sin leads to destruction, but a heart that burns for righteousness is aligned with our Father's will. Moses took action to remove sin from the people, understanding that holiness must be upheld. We, as His chosen today, must not tolerate unrighteousness in our lives or among the body of Christ, but must pursue holiness with unwavering commitment. Zeal for righteousness is not about self-righteousness or our personal interpretation of righteousness, but about a deep love for our Father's commandments and statutes, seeking to honor him in all things. Let us close in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Now is the time for us to walk as Moses walked, with unwavering faith and complete commitment to our Father. Let us seek humility, knowing that he lifts up those who lower themselves before him, relying not on their own strength, but on his. Let us be faithful in every task, big or small, trusting that he sees and rewards those who remain steadfast. Let us obey fully, never questioning his ways, but walking boldly in the path he has set before us, knowing that true blessing comes from complete submission to his will. Let us intercede for one another, standing in the breach for our brethren, just as Moses did for Israel. Let us endure with perseverance, trusting that every trial is refining us, shaping us into the vessel he desires us to be and to become. Let us stand boldly in courage, never fearing what man can do, and let us burn with zeal for righteousness, ensuring that his holiness is upheld in our lives and in the body of Christ. Joshua 1, verse 7 through 9. Joshua 1, verse 7 through 9. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.